Health with George Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Ho, 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 and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. 'Tis the season for all the calories and Christmas gains, people. You can call me Father Fitness. Some of you may know me from my time on Married at First Sight, or if not, you might know me because I dress up as a baguette on Instagram teaching people about health and fitness. But I'm actually an online health and fitness coach, a qualified one at that. And I am determined to cut through the bullshit advice and confusion of the internet, fitness misinformation that constantly floats around the internet. Each week, I am joined by expert guests as we dissect trends and we bust myths. So, speaking of, we are going to start with our first guest of the show this week, and we're going to be talking all things skincare and how to look best after our skin in winter. Joining me now is dermatologist Dr. Derek Phillips. Dr. Phillips, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining me again on the show. It is an absolute pleasure to have you back. We're going to jump straight into things all related to skin and the winter, okay? So winter can be tough on our bodies. Why does our skin often show the first signs of stress at this time of year?
Well, it's for a number of reasons. So firstly, there are environmental factors. So obviously it's colder in winter. We switch the central heating on, and we also have really hot showers. And what these factors do is that they dry out the skin. So they strip away moisture from the outer layer of the skin and weaken the skin barrier. And that leads to the redness, the dryness, and the irritation that many people experience. In addition to this, there are also sort of lifestyle factors as well. So during the winter, particularly during the Christmas period, you know, people are going out more, so sleeping less. So we know that nighttime is when the skin recovers and repairs a lot of the stresses that it experiences during the daytime. There's also increased alcohol consumption, and people focus less on drinking water and fluids, and so they become dehydrated, and that sort of manifests in the skin as well. And then as well, dietary changes. So, you know, it's very common to overindulge during the Christmas period and have one too many festive treats, and that can again manifest in the skin, compromising the skin barrier, reducing its ability to protect itself. And then the third thing, which people often don't think about, is that people often gifted skincare during the festive period, either as stocking fillers or as main presents. And during this period, when your skin's already sort of stressed, you know, it's not the right time to be introducing potentially quite harsh ingredients to your skin. And so, again, sort of overuse of skincare in this period can also aggravate the skin as well.
Okay, so I will stop buying skincare products for my sister-in-law because it might be causing more issues than anything. Who knows?
I think that might go down like a lead balloon. Keep buying skincare. Yeah, but obviously, yes, you know, just take care and you know, understand that your skin's stressed during this period because of all the things I've mentioned.
Yes, of course. So how exactly does alcohol, sugar-rich foods and late nights actually obviously bother the skin? Is it, like you said, you know, the dehydration? Is it because, you know, certain foods are kind of hitting our body differently and we're having so much more of it?
Yeah, I mean, so the dehydration means that sort of our body's water content is less, and as a result, sort of that affects the skin as well. So the skin cells are, they're less sort of, they're flaccid, they're dull, they're lackluster, because, you know, when you don't take in enough fluid, then your body will prioritize your organs, and your skin is actually sort of the last thing. So it shuts down blood supply to the skin. As a result, sort of it becomes a bit more dry and more prone to these things. Also, you know, if you have poor diet, then your skin isn't getting the nutrients it needs to have that, you know, healthy appearance. And in terms of sleep, so sleep is very important and is often under-recognized how important it is, because during the daytime, your skin is very busy protecting itself against UV pollution and all these other environmental stresses. And at nighttime is actually when your skin repairs. So at nighttime, there's increased blood flow to the skin. There's increased permeability as well. So actually, your nighttime skincare is very important in terms of repairing, hydrating, and maintaining the skin barrier.
Okay, just making a note of that one because I like the sound of that. Okay, so what do cold weather and central heatings kind of do to our skin barrier? Is that you? I know you mentioned about showers at the start and obviously changing temperatures, but you know, what is it actually doing to the skin?
Yeah, I mean, so with cold, we normally have humidity in the air. So during warmer weather, in cold weather, there's less water in the air. So the air is drier. And what that does is that also dries out your skin. And central heating, convection heating does that, sort of accelerates that. So it dries out the air in your home, which then dries out the skin. So it takes the moisture out of the outer layers of the skin, which then means that your skin barrier, which is this, it's the essentially the outer layer of the skin, which serves to protect your internal environment from the external environment. And one thing that it does is that it keeps moisture in. Okay. And once that sort of is damaged, so and by the skin barrier, I'm talking more the proteins and the fats that bind the cells together. Once they're damaged by dryness, your skin becomes leakier, porous, and that leads to further dryness, irritation, and in some cases, dermatitis.
Okay. And are there any early signs that our skin is becoming inflamed or overwhelmed?
Yeah. I mean, so the redness doesn't come straight away. It starts off with, you know, a bit of dryness, some flaking. It might feel a bit tight. It might feel a bit sort of dull and, you know, lacking that glow that sort of a lot of young people call. And then it will progress to more irritation, which can be itch, but it can also be discomfort as well. And then redness. And that's really, you know, the redness is the point where, you know, your skin's really impaired. But there are sort of telltale signs before you get to that point.
Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to think. So like you said, the early signs, like dryness, dull, obviously redness is the kind of end stage, right? Is that kind of the irritation? It's like with anything, like, you know. So, okay, fine.
By the time you got to the redness, it just means that essentially your skin barrier is so impaired that now things are getting in that shouldn't get in. And those things are irritating the nerve endings.
Yes, fine.
They're basically provoking your immune system. And that's why you're getting all these, the redness and the other signs associated with it.
Okay. And if someone wants to enjoy Christmas without upsetting their skin, you know, do you have any top preventative tips?
Yeah, I mean, so the first thing is, you know, you can minimize the environmental factors. So protect your skin when you're going out in the cold. So wear gloves, make sure you're adequately covered. You know, instead of having really hot showers, have warm showers. Don't sit near heaters, and you know, you can get a humidifier to put some moisture back into the air. And then moisturizing, you know, moisturizing is really important because it adds hydration to the skin. And if you use the right products, then you can make sure that you support the skin barrier. And I really recommend sort of products like the Genora Levagen Plus Smart Face Serum, which is a serum that you can use before the moisturizing stage. And it contains things like provitamin B5, niacinamide, palmitoyl ethanolamide, which basically helps to rebuild the skin barrier and reduce inflammation. Of course, you know, moderating your diet can be helpful, making sure that you drink enough water during the period, taking time to sleep as well. Also, you know, if you're stressed, you know, Christmas is a time when many families come together and, you know, it's a happy time, but it can also be a stressful time. You can take time, you know, away from the family if that's helpful. Go for walks to clear your head. All of these things together help.
Okay. And you've mentioned, obviously, hydration. And, you know, as an individual who preaches about water all the time, and I still think there's two things that probably most grown adults are deficient in, or most people are dehydrated and deficient in protein. You know, so I'm a firm believer of that. But you obviously mentioned, you know, hydration. How important is drinking water compared to maybe using the right moisturizer?
So they're both equally important. I mean, water is vital for life. So, you know, your organs won't function without water. And if you are dehydrated, then it will feed through to your skin. But it's also important to moisturize as well, because, you know, when you moisturize and use the right products, then you can repair your skin barrier so that it can help retain the moisture that's already there. And also you can add moisture there. You know, if you apply moisturizer to your skin, then you get sort of immediate hydration to the skin, whereas it's a slightly more convoluted course when you drink. So they're both important.
Okay. And I know you mentioned in the last question I asked about a pre-moisturizer, and you obviously mentioned what it does. Like, are these easily available? Because I know we spoke before about you know, how social media affects, you know, so many people, and obviously, but with this pre-moisturizer, like, is this available everywhere? Is this obviously the website you mentioned previously, or?
Yeah, I mean, so if you want more information about the Levagen Plus Face Serum, Smart Face Serum, then you go to www.genora.com and you can find out where to obtain it.
Okay, making a note of that one as well. Right, specific foods that could actively support healthier skin during the winter.
Yeah, I mean, so it's all about having a balanced diet, sort of making sure that you have, you know, leafy greens, you've got some berries which are rich in antioxidants. You know, I'm not saying don't, you know, have some festive treats, because these treats, you know, they help us with the enjoyment of the festive period, but obviously just things in moderation, and looking at your general health and making sure that your all the food groups and your omega-3s, your essential oils, everything is covered, as well as your vitamins. And berries are a great source of antioxidants. Antioxidants are just generally great at protecting against oxidative stress, which is the environmental stress that sort of damages the skin and also other organs and accelerates aging.
Okay, and so we've got a couple more questions, and then we're going to do a little bit of a quick fire round with just a few like skincare trends, if that's okay. If someone feels that their skin has suffered over this festive period, how can they help it recover in January?
So take a break from any harsh actives. So if you're using things like retinol, maybe high-strength vitamin C, take a break and focus more on repairing your skin barrier. And that really means sort of intensive moisturizing, looking for products with ingredients that support the skin barrier, like niacinamide, which is anti-inflammatory, panthenol, which helps to support the skin barrier, lipids, which essentially will help rebuild that brick that which are essentially the glues that hold the cells together, and sort of will re-strength the re-solidified your skin barrier. So I mean, so it, yeah, it's basically sort of pivoting from sort of, you know, your usual skin concerns, which is you know, often people have anti-aging at the forefront, and moving away from those particular actives which are likely to cause irritation if the skin barrier is weak, and then just focusing really on rebuilding and using moisturizers and hydration.
Yeah, okay. I mean, the thing is, right, we've spoken before, and I've had a few other individuals like yourself, dermatologists, coming on, and it's something that I've always wanted to. I need to start getting better with my skincare. I don't struggle that much with my skin, but obviously I exercise a lot, so it's definitely something that I want to take in, you know, action, really. So I think this conversation this time of year has definitely egged me on to maybe look at starting something in the new year. One skincare myth that you'd love to clear up, is there one that really kind of sits at the front of your mind, or maybe at the back?
I mean, so one that sort of I constantly encounter is this misunderstanding about the need for that sunscreen shouldn't be used during the winter months. We get two forms of UV radiation from the sun. We get UVB, which is the one that predominantly causes sunburn, and it's mostly present in the summer. And it's stopped by clouds, and it's stopped by, you know, window glass. But we get UVA all year round, and UVA is the one that sort of penetrates deep into the skin, causes pigmentation, accelerates skin aging, and can also contribute towards skin cancer. And UVA passes through clouds and window glass, which means that on a cloudy day, on an overcast day, you're still getting exposed to UVA. If you're working in an office and you're sat by a window, you're still getting UVA. And I think one thing that really demonstrates sort of the impact of UVA is that if you Google lorry driver UVA, then there's this beautiful depiction of a lorry driver. And you can see that the side of their face that's next to the window has aged considerably more than the other side.
Really?
And that's just by dint of just being exposed to more UVA. So sunscreen is not just for sunny days.
That's fascinating. I'm going to actually have to have a look at that. That's really, really fascinating. So I heard this myth, obviously, and again, you're the expert with this. I always heard, oh, you can't tan through a window. And I'm like, okay. But clearly, you can still get UVA rays from, and they're the ones that are damaging. So, okay. Right. Really interesting. very different to the last chat we had as well. So, quick fire round. These are skincare trends. It's a yes or no. And if you could, maybe a brief explanation at the end if needed. Okay? And there's six. So it's quite quick. Right. 10-step skincare routines.
No. Okay. You just need to have a basic skincare routine with a cleanser, moisturizer, and sunscreen, and maybe a serum. When you have too many products, they work against each other, often resulting in compromised skin barrier, irritation, breakouts, and simple is better.
Great. Skin cycling. I don't know what this is.
Skin cycling involves sort of using things like retinoids, which helps speed up skin cell turnover and can be good at sort of treating things like pigmentation, renewing the skin, and just improving skin texture.
Amazing. Slugging in winter.
It's a qualified yes.
Okay.
Slugging just means that you essentially use a really thick moisturizer, like a Vaseline, on top of your usual routine. I say if your skin is very dry, then you can. I mean, the thing is, you can just use a very rich moisturizer and it'll do the same job. Okay. But if your skin is very dry, then it can be a low cost solution. But if you're blemish prone, then using something really thick like Vaseline will occlude your pores and probably cause you to break out.
Okay. Beef tallow.
No.
We don't have to explain that one. I think maybe just no is good enough, and I think your response is good enough. Daily exfoliation.
No. I mean, it's a qualified no, because you don't need to exfoliate every day. I mean, I'd say once or twice a week. Excessive exfoliation can cause irritation, even if you have the most resilient skin. So, once or twice a week, but it should really be tempered by tolerability, but daily exfoliation isn't necessary.
Maybe a bit extreme. Okay. And final one, skin fasting, which is taking a break from skincare. I think I know the answer to this one.
No, because you don't. I mean, skincare should be sort of a entrenched part of your day. You know, you need to moisturize, you need to wear sunscreen. So there's no reality where you should take a break from sunscreen, particularly if you have fair skin. That's more susceptible to the effects of UV damage. Mm-hmm. So, I think obviously if you're someone who has a 10-step skincare routine, then you need to take a break from that, but you don't need to take a break from skincare in general.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much for that. Dr. Derek Phillips, thank you very, very much for this. Right, where can people find you online? Have you got you've got website, you've got social media? Please let everyone know.
Yeah, so I'm Dr. Derek Phillips. You can find me on Instagram or TikTok. And I also have a website, drderekphillips.com. But if you want to hear more about the Leveraging Plus Smart Face Serum, that's also genaura.com. That's genaura.com.
Amazing. Have a fantastic Christmas time. I'm sure we'll speak to you in the new year. Thank you so much for your time, and you take care.
You too. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Right, guys. Fantastic chat there was. Coming up after this short break, we'll be talking about fitness and Christmas.
FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Are you aware of the tea alarm?
Tell me more.
Yeah, so it's this cultural phenomenon that we have in Britain. It's an alarm at 3 p.m. Where everybody in the UK has to have a cup of tea, and if you miss it by a certain number of minutes, you get fined, basically.
This ain't real. This is not real. I'm not playing into this. Yeah. You think me watching Keeping Up Appearances, you think Mrs. Bouquet was missing a 3 o'clock tea alarm? Y'all won't get me.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yo! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Have you noticed the way fans shout at football matches?
Oh, wake up!
That's because conveying your message with sound is the most effective way to communicate to the players on the pitch that they're rubbish. And this works in advertising too. You see, research shows how brands that use radio to amplify their advertising are 49% more likely to get noticed. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? Is the sound of saying, I got you, mate? Is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this? Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here? Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
When I've met people in the past, I'm like, oh yeah, I really love them, he's the one. But I just knew they weren't. I'd say it, but I knew I didn't mean it. But when I met you, there was a different feeling. Like, it's like your gut just tells you. When people used to say, when you know, I was like, oh, piss off. But when you know, you know.
When I met you and times got hard, I would come up with a strategy to make it better.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
So we've got Dr. Matt Morgan. Someone's heart stopped beating for 8 hours.
So he was stuck on a ledge in a freezing snowstorm and his heart stopped for an amazing 9 hours. He's still the world's longest surviving cardiac arrest patient. And he lived because he was cold. You know, there's a saying, you're not dead until you're warm and dead.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. Now, we're going to be talking fitness and Christmas. Father Fitness, that's what we're going to go with. So, I'm going to start with giving you my top five Christmas tips. Very simple, super ingestible. Hopefully, they help. Now, number one is something I go on about all the time. Steps on Christmas Day or on Boxing Day or maybe the day after, depending on what you do with your family or your friends or even if you're on your own or whatever. Get some steps in. Move your body. Feel good. I actually, as a kid, used to hate going on Christmas walks. I was a little brat. I would always want to be playing with my toys or doing this or doing that. But actually, as I've got to an age where I appreciate my health and I appreciate my fitness, there is nothing more enjoyable and there is nothing better than a Christmas stroll. Everyone's in good spirits. Everyone's being lovely. It's nice. So that is 100% something I would recommend for you guys over the Christmas period. So if you're off work as of today, tomorrow, Friday, next Monday, whenever you are done, just if you've got more free time, get a little bit more walking. And this is why I love Christmas shopping, because you're going to hit your step goals if you walk and if you aren't lazy and you don't do it all online. Next tip. Right. It's going to sound a bit crazy. Skip breakfast. Oh, a health and fitness professional telling me to skip breakfast. That's not healthy. Well, technically, you're probably going to eat your week's worth of calories in a day or two. So skipping a meal or having your first meal a little bit later isn't probably going to do you any harm. So I would highly recommend maybe on Christmas Day or Boxing Day, or if you're worried, and it always is going to circle back round to what your goal is, what you're worried about. If you've worked really hard all year, I tell all my clients who've worked really hard all year, just don't worry about it. If you don't gain or maintain on the week of Christmas, you've not done it properly. But if you've not really done that well, then these tips are probably going to be pretty useful to you. Again, maybe you have a knowledge problem or an implementation issue, but the reality is this is me giving you some knowledge, me trying to help you. So skipping a meal, trying to make sure that you eat one less meal so that you have more room for your Christmas plate, which is what the whole day is about. Well, it's about family time, but for me, it's about eating because I love my family and they know that. But guys, I love food. Right, next one. This is going to be the importance of how you structure your day. You are going to need meat, you're going to need veg, and you're going to need carbs. That is a bog standard Christmas plate. If you are vegan or vegetarian, you need a protein source. That's why I'm saying meat. These are all great and super important, but too much booze will be your downfall. That is why you will lean in for an extra cookie. That's why you will lean in for an extra chocolate bar. You will end up eating the whole box of celebrations and more, and probably drink a hell of a lot of Baileys. So my biggest advice is avoid too much booze, because that's going to be the best way to manage your day. But, and I put in brackets here, it's Christmas. So if you want to get boozy, you want to get a little bit pissed, do it. It's fine. You're not going to do it for the whole week. Well, some of you might. And if you do, then good on you. It's Christmas. Right. Number four. Make sure it lasts 1 to 3 days maximum. 3 days maximum of eating, drinking. I bet if I went hard on Christmas Day, and we're going to go with, let's just say I'm allowed 2,000 calories a day. That's 14,000 calories. I think I could do that on Christmas Day if I tried. If I started at 8 and I finished at midnight, I could easily do that. So think about it. If you are a gluttonous individual and your mitts start to get a little bit sweaty when food's around you or alcohol, you get excited. Just my biggest thing for you is don't let it last Christmas Day, Boxing Day, and then the day after. Just make it last maybe 2 days max, because then you can start to focus on things. And we all know how we feel when we do it too hard and we go a bit too crazy. We lack and we feel lazy and we feel worse than before. So that is number four. And number five, and the most important of them all, have fun, enjoy yourself. And if you worked hard this year, you shouldn't feel bad. And if you haven't, shame on you, you're on the naughty list. Okay, so they are my five tips for Christmas. Now, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to guess how many calories the average person in the UK consumes on Christmas Day. But we're going to start with guessing the calories in the Christmas foods. So, first one up is one singular roast potato. Now, this can purely depend on what it's cooked in. A potato is pretty healthy for you. I'm probably going to go with like maybe 120 calories. Okay. I'm very, very wrong. That's 200 calories. So next one, four slices of turkey. I'm probably thinking turkey is probably one of the leanest meats the way it's cooked. We'll go with maybe 300 to 350 calories. Okay. We've got 450 calories. We can very, very quickly see how this is going to add up. Now, pigs in blankets. My favourite. Absolute. I look like a pig in blanket on Christmas Day. With a glass of champagne, obviously. Four pigs in blankets. I'm probably going to go, if the turkeys, but they're quite small, so maybe like 250? No, that's 350, okay? Stuffing balls. Everyone loves a stuffing ball. Everyone wants to look like a stuffing ball. I'm going to go with, God, that's like basically pure. Oh, I don't know what to do here. I'm going to have to go with 100 calories. And we've got 125. Okay. So I'm yet, as a health and fitness expert, I'm yet to get anything right. So I think I'm underestimating. So gravy. And this is just going to be a singular portion. 100 calories, I'm going to assume. And we've got 80. Okay. So there or thereabouts. Cranberry sauce. Right, I've never had cranberry sauce in my life. If you have, then I don't know what it tastes like. Cranberries, I guess. a portion of that could be 40 calories, maybe 50 calories. And we've got 50 calories. Okay. One singular Yorkshire pudding. Homemade, Aunt Bessie's. There are other brands available. I'm personally going to go with 200 calories for a Yorkie pud. I ate quite a few of them. And we've got 150. Now, a nation's favourite, a mince pie. Not a fan. Wouldn't recommend. I would say probably anywhere between 150. You know what I should have done? Is I should have gone for an average range instead of guessing the actual calorie content, because that's pretty hard. But anyway, I'm going to go 150 to 200 here. And we've got 180. Yeah, great. So I'm giving myself two ticks, cranberry sauce and mince pie. And then we've got Christmas pudding with custard, English custard, love the stuff, and brandy. Not sure about the brandy. A portion size. A singular Christmas pudding or a portion of Christmas pudding? I think it's going to be a Christmas pudding. 600 calories. 400. Okay, it was 400. So I was wildly inaccurate for the Christmas pudding because I wasn't sure how big we're talking. But I mean, I undershot and everything. So guys, that is a bit of a guess the calories in these Christmas foods. I'm now going to do how many calories does the average person in the UK consume on Christmas Day? I'm probably going to say anywhere between 4,000. I'm going to say 4,000 to maybe 5,000, because I would say that is double the average human intake for men and women. So women are recommended 2,000 a day. Men are recommended about 2,500. It's there or thereabouts. That's still wildly inaccurate because it's all down to your weight, your height, your build, X, Y, Z, your muscle tissue. But I have got here 5,300 calories on average. That is insane. And the fact that I think that I could do 1,400 in the day, maybe I'll document it. Maybe I will document it. What a fantastic idea. Right. Last little thing before we move on to list of questions after the break. I'm going to do plan my optimum Christmas dinner plate. Now, this would be my plate. This is what I want. This is what I think you guys should have. But if you don't like these things, you don't have to. But if you want gains over Christmas and you want to feel good, then this is what I would suggest. Potatoes, okay? Oh, my Lord. Talk about them all the time. Spoken about them all year. Most satiating food on the planet. They are fantastic. They are quite honestly incredible. You cannot beat a potato. Not a singular one. We're talking half a plate. Or we'll go a third. Green beans with olive oil and shallots and some broccoli. Don't shoot me. I don't know anyone that probably really eats broccoli at Christmas. But I like broccoli. I like midget trees. So, fantastic. Next, beef. But it has to be as pink as possible. So, we nice slices of beef. Yeah, love that. Next, three birds. Now, I've never had three birds in one go before, but I would highly recommend eating three birds because they're super tasty. So definitely would recommend three birds. Bird in a bird in a bird. If no one's ever had that before, I'm pretty sure it's like a turkey, a pheasant, and then just trying to think, maybe some sort of chick? I'm not sure. I'll have to, you'll have to, don't quote me on that one. But anyway, next. Pigs in blanket. If your plate is not covered in these absolutely divine little sausage bacon-covered beauties, you aren't doing Christmas Day properly. So if you love a pig in blanket, raise your hand, because I love a pig in blanket. I'm going to go with parsnips. Roasted parsnips are elite. I was never a big veg guy as a kid, but I just love it. Absolutely love it. Don't need carrots because I could see in the dark, and I don't think they're going to be the best because, well, they're good, but I think they're overhyped. Yorkshire puddings, because they are 150 calories each, so you can have a fair few of them. Some stuffing, a little bit, not too much, because you want to save room for the good stuff. And finally, gravy. I love gravy, so I would lather the plate with gravy. None of this mint sauce, none of this cranberry sauce, none of that rubbish. Gravy, gravy, gravy. Hopefully with some jus from the meats, and obviously the three birds, because who doesn't love the jus? Right, guys, we are going to go to a short break. So coming up after this short break, I'll be answering some of your listener questions.
FUBAR Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
Let's go back to the beginning. A mortgage advisor. What does a mortgage advisor do?
So, the main purpose of a mortgage advisor is to help you to achieve the best possible mortgage solution on time and first time. Typically, in the modern day, it's somebody who's going to hold your hand through the full home buying process, liaising with solicitors, estate agents, helping with insurance, and yeah, being in your corner on your team to make sure you achieve that goal.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
We are joined by Miss Safia. If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay, on paper, my type has to have a good soul, yeah, good purpose and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I want to find happiness, and I need him to be kind.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
Maura Higgins,
that's a Geordie Shaw thing,
has scrubbed a shitty toilet with her ex-boyfriend's toothbrush. Why did she do this?
He's obviously done something very bad.
Do we know who he is? Does anybody know who he is?
No, but I mean, I don't think he'd want to know who he is.
No.
I think he'd probably go and hide in now, whoever that is.
Mate, if you're listening to this, go and buy a new toothbrush, because you've still got the same one.
Get yourself to Turkey and get yourself some veneers, because I can't imagine them teeth are going to last much longer.
No.
What the hell? With Georges Bertineau. Exclusively on FUBAR Radio.
This is What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Now, time for some listener questions. If you want to get your fitness questions, please send them in to us at What the Health Show on Instagram, or you can send them directly to me at Georges Bert. Now, before we do the listener questions, we're going to be drinking a lot of alcohol over the festive periods, so I thought I would do a best alcohol tier list. Not on flavour, not on anything else other than for weight loss, because I feel like a lot of people are on a weight loss journey and a lot of people are never sure what to consume. So it's going to be tiered from A to F. I have it on my telephone, so excuse me if I'm looking and scrolling. Now, number one is going to be vodka or any other clear spirits. This is the king of I'm dieting and I still want to get smashed. Low calories, mixes with absolutely anything. My suggestion would be a sugar-free alternative. It doesn't blow your deficit unless you pour it in with full-fat Coke. So this would be A tier. We then have gin and slimline tonic. Personally, not a fan. This is like adult sparkling water if you have a little bit of a drinking problem. We're looking at low calories, crisp, festive, and it lets you pretend that you have some class and decorum. We're going to go with A. Next. Oh, one of these is a personal favourite and the other one is, well, the Italians won't like it if I say it. It's a bit of rubbish. We've got Prosecco and we've got Champagne. This is bougie bubbles, just exactly what we want. This is actually pretty surprisingly low in calories. It's perfect for Christmas toasting and pretending you have your life together. So this is a B tier. Next, I know the beer drinkers out there are going to hate me for this one, but we've got light beer or low calorie beer alternatives. This is the I'm trying to be healthy, but I don't really like myself right now. So good calorie numbers, pretty average levels of enjoyment, B tier. Whiskey, neat, low calorie per shot, and it's a slow sip and you're kind of safe drinking it, so B tier. I'm going to skip on to a few others now. Red and white wine, not the best for calories, but not the worst. Great until you've had your third glass and then you're trying to eat the entire cheese board. But then again, there's good protein in cheese and there's not any protein in wine, so C tier. Mulled wine, this is going to be D tier. This is Christmas in a cup, but also pure sugar in a cup. So delicious, not the best for calories, but enjoy yourself. It's Christmas. Baileys, an absolute sinful drink. Now, I'm not sure how I feel when I consume this, but a bottle of sugar, cream, and poor life choices only comes out at Christmas and only consumed in XXL servings. D tier, but A tier for great, great choice. Now, final one is going to be eggnog. I'm actually yet to find a human being that consumes eggnog. So if you do consume eggnog, please send us a message and please send us a picture of you drinking the eggnog, because I'm pretty sure this is just a dessert pretending to be a drink. This is Christmas custard with rum. Absolutely awful for fat loss, but hey, if you're trying to do a 10 calorie challenge, you're going to win it. This is F tier. Now, people, we're going to move on to the listener questions. Question number one. If I eat lots of chocolate and cake over Christmas, the Christmas break, sorry, am I going to undo all my hard work in the gym? Well, first of all, have you gone to the gym? Second of all, how much are we talking? Are we talking, are you eating so much chocolate that you, I don't know, like, are you eating a whole box of Celebrations? There are other chocolates available. Don't mention After Eights because they're awful. And also cake, like how much cake you're having. You're having a slice, you're having two, you're having the whole thing, you're having a Costco cake. Again, Colin the Caterpillar, other cakes are available, yes. But my main thing is, it's Christmas. You're not going to undo all the hard work if you just do one day. Like I said in my five tips, 1 to 3 days. If you stick to one day, it's one day. You are fine. And if you stick to what the average person does, and then you stick to another one of my tips, which was skipping breakfast on the day of Christmas, you then have 5,300 calories as an average, which is what the average UK consumer on Christmas Day eats. You've got 5,300 calories from maybe 12 o'clock or 2 o'clock until, let's say, midnight when you go to bed. So, actually, I don't think you will. There are others out there who are a little bit more strict and don't want balance and don't want you to enjoy yourselves. So, yeah, I would say you're not going to undo all the hard work. But if you haven't been to the gym or you've not really worked out very long this year, then there's a good chance that you'll do a little bit of a dent, you know, a little chink in the armour, but that's fine. Next question. There's so many detoxes advertised in January. Are any worth actually doing or taking part in? I'm going to do like Dr. Derek Phillips earlier with one of his answers. No, they are not worth doing. The only thing worth doing for you is finding what works for you. There's a reason why detoxes exist more in January, and I guess probably now with the world that we live in, probably a lot more throughout the year, purely because they are a money-making scheme. Okay, they are an opportunity to, I'm desperate, I'm this, I'm that, nothing's worked before, something, and I say this very kindly, something will work for you if you stick to it for more than 4 weeks or 6 weeks or maybe even eight. You have to give your body time. If you have been under eating calories for a very long period of time, your body needs more food. So that is definitely a topic of conversation for the new year, because I'm sure I'm going to get lots of questions of, I'm not losing weight and I'm in a calorie deficit. Why? So we'll squish that one in the new year, people. Next question. Is it better to slowly ease back into healthy habits or go all in with a strict routine in January? So I'm a very big advocate of small increments, and small daily habits introduced over a year are exactly how you are going to get the results that you want. Lasting results, not some 6 month transformation where you look amazing and then 2 months later you've put half the weight back on, or 3 months later you look the same again. It is about lasting change. If you're an individual who's getting ready to compete in a bodybuilding show, if you are getting ready for your wedding day, if you're getting ready for a bikini shoot, if you're getting ready for a modeling shoot, whatever it might be, all or nothing might work for you for 12 weeks, okay? You've got to stick to it for 12 weeks. So I reiterate my point on the last question. If you do not stick to your habits, if you do not stick to doing things regularly, you will not succeed. So, little and often, every day just thinking, oh, I'm going to do a 20-minute walk extra. That, over the space of a year, is hours, thousands of steps. One of my clients has done a whole year as of, I think, the 3rd of January of a minimum of 9,000 steps. Shout out to Rick, by the way. He has done a whole year. He said it's like 4 million something steps. That is incredible. Imagine you did 9,000 steps every day. He has a dog. He has a super, super great job. He's super busy. He's here, there, and everywhere. He makes time. You can make time. Small habits win the race, people. Next question. Late nights and lines have completely ruined my routine. Do I reset? How do I reset without shocking my body? Well, you're currently shocking it, because late nights and lines are why you are where you are. Now, you technically don't shock your body, but your body works on some sort of clock. It might not be circadian rhythm as such, but our bodies very much work on a regularity basis. I spoke about this before for food. So it comes back to, the more you do it and the consistency of doing it is then going to make your body get used to it, right? So I probably, for this whole year, most days do not have my first meal until after the gym. Now, that's maybe a bit of a lie, because I have two coffees with a dash of milk. And then I have probably a squares bar before the gym. We're looking at 250 calories. That's it. But I don't eat it because I'm hungry. I do it because I want the energy and I want a nice little pump when I'm in the gym as well. So when I first started doing that, every morning I was starving. And when I say starving, I was absolutely famished. Could have eaten everything in my cupboards, but I didn't. I stuck at it. And all of a sudden, I started not being hungry in the mornings. I might wake up hungry, but the second I have my first coffee, I'm not hungry anymore. My body has got used to not having breakfast or having my first meal after the gym at maybe 12 or 1 or 2. So it's the same with late nights and lions. If you Lions are the hard part. I mean, I'm not a big lion person, but if you start making yourself go to bed and you start doing a bit of a routine or you start doing something to help yourself switch off before you go to bed, you are going to be feeling so much better. 7 to 9 hours is what we need to aim for. Some people are okay on 6. Doesn't mean they're going to get the best results, but that is what you need to really, really look at. Okay? So it's a bit of regularity, a bit of consistency. You aren't going to shock your body if you reset it, but you need to start focusing on that. That sleep is huge. I have clients that don't get results because they don't sleep. So, you know, technically that's not solely the reason, but it's a big, big factor. Okay. Next, what's the healthiest first step after a festive period? Well, my biggest piece, if you wanted to go proper on it, I would say as of Boxing Day, you're starting. Not the 27th, not the 28th, not the 29th, which is a Monday, not the 5th, which is the first Monday in January. You are starting on that Friday. You are getting up, you are going for a walk, you're going to fuel yourself with water, with good food. The leftovers from Christmas are a great option. Don't let them go to waste and eat them, because food is friend. Fish are friends, not food. That would be my biggest piece of advice for you, okay? So just start. Don't wait till that Monday and then you'll go, oh, well, it's New Year's Eve, and then it's New Year's Day. It's all of these excuses. Just go. Just do something. Because how many times have you not done something this year and gone, oh, I'll start Monday. And then by Wednesday, you're like, well, it's Friday soon. So just promise me, if you're listening to this and you're looking to start something this year, just start by doing, okay? Just start by doing. Right, next question. Is walking enough exercise over Christmas? 1,000%. If you go and hit 10 to 15,000 steps every day of the Christmas period, I'm telling you now, you're probably not going to be gaining any weight unless you've gone drastically wrong. So, yeah, really good question. 1,000% would highly, 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 highly recommend walking over the Christmas period. And yes, it's enough, especially if you're not a gym goer, you're not a big advocate, it's a bit of a slog. Oh, I've got to go to the gym again today. So just think of it that way. Okay. Right. One of our final questions is it okay for my main goal over Christmas to rest rather than progress fitness wise? This is absolutely fantastic. I am so glad I've been asked this. Yes, is the answer. If you've worked out all year and you've exercised, or you've started to build a better lifestyle and you've increased in increments and you've done this and you've done that and you've done all these improvements, if you have done all the hard work throughout the year, this is a fantastic time to reset, start a new program in the new year or after Christmas. This is a perfect chance for you to eat maintenance calories. A lot of my clients are on maintenance calories over the festive period, and some of them still lose weight purely because because their body needs the food, right? That's the ins and outs of it, and that's the crux, okay? And final question, how do I not fall into the new year, new me, or fall off the new year, new me by February? Simple. Don't start at the start of the year. Start now. Make that decision. Make that conscious decision to go, I have put this off for 10 Christmases, 5 Christmases, 3 Christmases. I don't like the way I feel, the way I look, the way my life is. So I'm going to make a conscious effort to do everything I need to make sure I'm feeling better. Because if you're someone that likes to give to people, then the only way you give back to people is being the best version of yourself. Okay, that's it, guys. Massive, massive thank you to Dr. Derek Phillips for joining us today on What The Health Show. Guys, a reminder, you can download the app and listen each week, and you can follow us on social media. We are at What The Health Show on Instagram. Also, with the new year coming up, if you want any help with your health and fitness goals, I provide a top-tier coaching service. No BS, problem-solving. I'll hold your hand every step of the way. And it's not a lie. It's not a farce. I will genuinely support you every inch and step of the way. If you're interested, please reach out at George Burt on Instagram. Also, The show is available to listen back to on all good podcasting platforms. A Merry Christmas to you all of your families, your loved ones, your pets, your goldfishes. Just have an amazing time. Spend it with loved ones. Do stuff that you love. We will be back next year. Thank you from me. I'm Georges. Thanks for listening. Have an amazing festive period. Love you. Bye.
FUBAR Radio.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
The lovely Matt Phipps.
Hello.
The thing that surprised me most was how much joy I took in being, like, making people feel really uncomfortable. It's so
Amen.
Good. So good.
Your mum jokes change completely.
My friend the other day, she was like, how tall is your mum? And I was like, oh, she's 6 feet under. Yeah, they did not know what to do with that. Yeah. And then you let it hang in the air.
Yeah.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
When you go abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to just say everything in English, but louder.
Four beers, please, garçon!
If only there was a way that could work with your advertising campaign. Well, there is. And you're listening to it. Because when you amplify your advertising with radio, 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Politics Uncensored.
We kind of act like COVID didn't happen. Well, do you think it's had a lasting impact, at least on that young generation that experienced it?
The legacy of it in schools, you see the legacy of it in people's mental health. We're seeing the legacy of it even in public services, even in hotels, hospitality. Everything was stripped back to the bone, and the UK did not have the resilience to recover. So I think we are still definitely living in a post-COVID society where nothing really works as well as it did. If you think things were damaged by Brexit, things were double damaged by COVID.
On the FUBAR Radio app.
And on your smart speaker.
This is the latest FUBAR Radio news.
The Health Secretary has apologised to patients as doctors have begun a five-day walkout in England. It's over an ongoing row over jobs and pay. It comes as the healthcare leaders warn the impact of the strike will be felt all the way into January and beyond. Wes Streeting says the government did everything they could to avoid the strike.
We met with the BMA yesterday morning, Jim and I and other senior NHS leaders, even at that late stage, to try and see off strike action this week. But obviously those talks, which went on for about 5 hours, were unsuccessful.
But Dr. Francesco Palazzo has accused ministers of avoiding talks with them.
To be brutally honest, I think with the current government, I think they're scared of political backlash. I think they're scared of short-term political pressure and criticism, which is a shame.
Next, a 15-year-old boy has been charged with the murder of Aria Thorpe in Weston-super-Mare. 9-year-old Aria was pronounced dead at the scene by emergency services after they were called to a house on Monday evening. A 24-year-old man has been charged after waking from a coma over the Bondi Beach terror attack in Sydney. Police say he faces 59 charges, including 15 counts of murder, following a shooting at a Jewish festival. The Prime Minister says authorities will take stronger action against terrorism and anti-Semitism. Inflation has fallen sharply, easing pressure on household budgets, according to new official figures. The Consumer Prices Index dropped to 3.2% in November, down from 3.6% the previous month, and lower than economists expected. And the government has confirmed that the UK will rejoin the European Union's Erasmus Student Exchange Scheme. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Tanita Sims.
Radio Works. Half of UK adults feel pressure to hide grief